Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this special podcast, for it is Friday, March the 8th of the year of our Lord 2024. With me today, as usual, Brother Paul Sutcliffe. Hello, and how are you?
Doing pretty good. Nice rainy day out here today.
Part of being a Christian news service is covering news that sometimes is not suitable for children. Today we are doing that. So we ask that you not let children be in the room while you're listening to this broadcast. Thank you.
Brother Paul, we got some stories here to share. We're going to start with the United States of America, and we got two stories. So what is the first one we have, brother?
Well, the New York Post reports that Origins, a Brooklyn high school, has become a haven for Hitler-loving hooligans who terrorize Jewish teachers and classmates. The New York Post learned that one school in New York City is so anti-Semitic, the Origins school, that Jewish teachers and students live in fear. The school is at least 40% Muslim, according to their statistics. Ms. Kaminsky, a Jewish social studies teacher, has had her door plastered with Free Palestine sticky notes, had students threaten her life, praise Hitler, and the principal is accused of condoning the behavior because she does not punish those who commit the acts. Ms. Kaminsky's request last March, cameramen arranged for a group of students to visit the Museum of Jewish Heritage, which had a new program to educate students about anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. The museum in Battery Park City had first sent two female interns to Origins to prepare teens for what they would see. Several boys nearly brought the young women to tears with rude and appalling comments. According to emails with the museum and staff accounts, one teen said he would have sex with dead Jewish women. Another said he would take money from the dead Jewish people's corpses. Others made derisive remarks like, "Who cares about Jews?" The museum canceled the visit before it started. When another group of Origins kids went last year, they stuffed trash into the donation box.
First of all, the problem, Brother Paul, is you said it. It is 40% Muslims in that school. You have to understand that we have our numbers. When Muslims reach 5.5%, they are majority. No kidding. Not 51%, 5.5%. People always ask me, Brother Usama, how you come up with this number? It is just from experience, from seeing what Muslims have done in many communities all over Europe and here in America when they reach 5.5%. 40%, it is way, way beyond fixing. So, what do we have here? We got Muslims flexing their muscles on the Jewish and soon on the Christians in that school. They want to terrorize the Jewish teacher and the Jewish students. That is the reality. And what is sickening now is not that they are doing what they are doing. The problem is there is no punishment for what they're doing, which means they can get away with it. The principal in that school is doing nothing to stop the Muslims doing what they're doing, which means it's going to get worse in the near future. As for Ms. Kaminsky, who is terrorized, I feel sorry for her. And I believe the Jewish community in New York and the people in the community, Christians or non-Jewish, doesn't matter really, should demand that principal to be fired. Remember, the presidents of some colleges got fired from their job? So is that principal. Just to set an example for other principals, you see bad behavior, which is normal behavior from Muslims, it needs to be punished. Otherwise, we're going to lose not only the school, but we're going to lose the entire community where these Muslims are living. Think about that trip to the museum. You may think, well, this is a positive way to fix a problem. Let's educate the students about the Jewish people and what they have been through in their life so they can have some understanding to what the Jewish people have been through in their life. It will not work. These are children from a strong Muslim family who got the influence of their parents and the influence of the imams and the Muslim believers in these mosques where their parents attend to, and they're here to show their Muslim. So I'm sorry. The statements which has been told, by the way, by some of these students, having sex with dead Jews. For the American people to hear that, it's like, well, you know, that kid lost his mind. He's just kid talk. having sex with dead people is Islam. It is the Sunnah of Muhammad. When Muhammad did have sex with a dead woman, that makes it way of life. I'm not just making this up. This is fatwa after fatwa after fatwa, decrees by Muslim muftis all over the world who allow men to be involved sexually with their dead wives. Now, how late a man can be involved sexually with his deceased wife?
Egypt has attempted to pass a law that would allow them to have sex 6 hours after their wife died.
You know how sick that is? That is sick. And I'm glad that that boy made the statement, because at least now our audience come to understand a fact about in Islam, you can have sex relationship with a dead spouse as long as you were married to her before she died. And what does he call this sex relationship here, Brother Paul?
Necrophilia.
And how the Muslim introduced that last time to have sex with their dead spouse?
They call this farewell sex.
What a wonderful, loving relationship. Muslim men are so loving to their spouses who already been beaten the daylight out of them, according to Quran chapter 4 and verse 34. They're going to say, let me have sex a few more times with my wife, as long as it is within the last 6 hours after her death. What a sick, immoral cult. Now, as for taking money from the Jewish people, once again, where did these Muslim men learn about that? Except from Muhammad. As we have read so many times in the past, Quran 9:29 gave the Muslims the right to take money from the Jews and the Christians if they choose not to submit to Islam. So you see, it's all about Islam, Brother Paul. These little boys are not speaking from empty heads. They're speaking from knowledge, which is the doctrine and the beliefs of Islam. I know that these students in a previous trip, they bought trash into the donation box, because that's exactly how every Muslim in America, if you are a Muslim believer, you think nothing but trash can be given to the Jews. Well, Brother Paul, let's move on to the second story here at USA.
Memory caught a broadcast of Nihad Awad, the executive director of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is Hamas in America, speaking at the American Muslim Society in Dearborn on February 25th. This was ahead of the Democratic presidential primary election in Michigan. He urged his audience to vote uncommitted in the primaries in order to send the message to Biden that Muslims will never vote for him. He said that Muslim voters should not be taken for granted by any political party, and he emphasized that the political party should also focus on Muslim interests. On cue, Muslims achieved 100,000-plus uncommitted statement in Michigan.
So in simple words, Muslims in America are manipulating our politicians for the interest of what Muslims desire for them to do. So if you're not going to force Israel to leave Gaza and end that war, we're not going to vote for you. And believe it or not, that's exactly the future of the Democratic Party. They will stop supporting Israel and they will support the Muslims. Not only Hamas, but the rest of the Muslims all over the world. And I hope and I pray that our Democrats, those who claim to be Christians, would listen carefully to what I'm saying. Your party not only left you a long time ago, your party bringing the Muslims to America illegally, but they will support their agenda all over the world. Perhaps this election coming up will be a completely different than previous election. As many Democrats, Christians or not, see what the party is standing for. If they're going to gain the 1 million votes of the Muslims like we have last election, your party, the Democrats, must bow down and bend the knee to accommodate the Muslims in whatever way they are looking to be supported. Brother Paul, let's move on to Europe and North America story.
This is an unusual one because we don't usually mix these two, but this is because of something that Memory found. Middle East Media Research Institute reported that against the backdrop of the war in Gaza, Jasser Auda, a member of the International Institute of Islamic Thought, a founder and board member of the International Union of Muslim Scholars, founded by Qatar and Turkey, and a member of the FIC Council of North America and the European Council for Fatwa Research, published an article calling for Muslims to wage jihad in order to aid the Palestinians in their war against Israel. In the article titled, "The Sykes-Picot Borders Have No Legal Status in Religious Laws of Jihad," Auda stresses that the religious duty of jihad, which is explicitly set out in the Quran, is a collective duty. This means that if it is adequately performed by a sufficient number of Muslims, other Muslims are exempt from taking part in it. However, if it is not adequately performed, it becomes a religious duty incumbent upon every individual Muslim, especially upon those who are geographically close to the area of fighting and who are mentally and financially able to engage in it. Now, keep in mind, these groups I've mentioned, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, the International Union of Muslim Scholars, the Fiqh Council of North America, and the European Council for Fatwa and Research are all Muslim Brotherhood organizations, and Hamas is just a chapter of the Muslim Brotherhood.
You hit the nail on the head by the hammer, Brother Paul. You're absolutely right. And I want to just say quickly here, there's two different duties for the Muslims. There's collective and there's religious. By the way, this is Sharia 101, okay? If you're going to jihad and people just go ahead voluntarily and you got plenty of people, then you just keep it in the collective duties. We're not going to force everybody to come because we've got plenty of people to perform jihad for the sake of Allah, which means we're going to control the world with those who voluntarily went forward to join the jihad. But if you don't have enough people, now we're going to move to religious duty, which means everybody must go. Everybody must perform jihad.
My biggest problem with this story is that it sounds like they're saying October 7th wasn't enough.
You're right, because if October 7th was enough, then we don't need to go to the religious duty. The final jihad Muslims have been talking about since I was in high school in Egypt. And I know the day is coming and Muslims will perform jihad as a religious duty for all the Muslims to be involved in it. So we just have to wait and see what the Lord is going to do. But in any way, we are called by the scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
All right, Brother Paul, let's move on to France, where we have three stories I would like to share here.
Iqra Bookshop in Nice, France has been closed because of the material it carries being offensive to the French. This establishment, located in a particularly busy area, received clientele made up of both adults and young people, especially minors. Among the offending works was The Great Sins by Imam Chams ad-Din ad-Da'abi, which had statements in it that call for the murder of homosexuals. Other books advocated violence against women. So the French government has closed this store.
Well, Brother Paul, I believe the French people are moving to the right direction. If it's a bookstore, teach to kill homosexual or violence against women, which is, by the way, solid teaching of Islam. Because you may hear some Muslims say, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with Islam. These are radicals. These are extremists. Muhammad killed homosexuals. Sharia teaches to kill homosexuals. And the Quran teaches to beat their wives. So if you're going to beat your wife, surely you're going to have violence against all women. And I'm glad that the French people are doing the right thing. But here is the reality. They are a day late and a dollar short. Let's move on to the second story, Brother Paul.
A 39-year-old homeless man was arrested by the police February 27th in Nancy. According to the police, he made disturbing comments in l'Embassy bar. But just before he left, he again managed to be offered drinks. After leaving the bar for good that night, he shouted, Al-Qaeda! They're the strongest. Outside, the man attacked young people by threatening to burn their motorcycle. He also punched cars in the neighborhood several times before he got a special ride to the pokey.
Well, he's not going to lose anything. First of all, I don't think he's a very good Muslim if he's drinking at this bar. But if he was just offered and he didn't drink it, well, he ended to have a free trip to the club where he has his free meals and who knows, everything he desired to have if he did not have it outside in France. So, all right, let's move on to the last story in France.
Well, about a month ago, we talked about a headmaster, which is basically a principal of the school, who had said no to a student who was wearing a hijab and sent her home to her father. Well, the father had come in and threatened to kill the headmaster. As a result, 163 school headmasters came to Paris in support of the principal who has been receiving death threats, and they are denouncing the attacks by parents and the false accusations of Islamophobia.
Well, I believe, once again, France is moving to the right direction. 163 principals are standing with the first school against the Muslims. Whatever threats they're going to give to the school for not allowing young Muslim lady to wear the hijab, I'm glad they're doing that. Hopefully, the rest of the schools join and they can make a statement for the Muslims. All right. So, Brother Paul, let's move on to Belgium, where we have one story today.
Four terrorism suspects arrested in Belgium on Sunday appear to be boys between 15 and 18 years old. The Belgian Public Prosecution Service states that they have ties with jihadi groups and are suspected of participating in a terrorist organization and preparing an attack.
Well, Brother Paul, here's a fact. 15 to 18 years old, being involved in jihad movement, being a new younger generation of terrorists, that does not come from empty heads. Because I guarantee you, if the people in Belgium would do their job right and investigate these four young teenagers, they would find that they have ties to Muslim families who are jihadi, or more important, they have ties to mosques in Belgium who have Muslim terrorist jihadi ideology, because that is exactly what it is. 15 years old play games on their phones or on some computer, not to do such a thing unless there was some greater influence from those who are above them, parents or mosque leaders in their community. Well, Brother Paul, let's move on from Belgium to Sweden, where we have one story.
On December 27th of last year, the Malmo District Court sentenced 19-year-old Adam Al-Maghrabi to 4 years in prison for gross violations of the Act on Flammable and Explosive Goods, as well as preparation for public destruction, crimes committed in September of the same year. Now, this person was creating bombs to be used by gangs. So this guy's entire family is now being evicted from the premises because the case revealed that they knew about the crimes he was committing.
Brother Paul, it's always known. There's no one story if you investigate it about some Muslim live in some house or some community doing these dirty work of Allah unless everybody knows it. I guarantee you, not only the family knows about what Adam was working on, but I guarantee you Muslim in the entire community knows what Adam is working on. And what is making me sick in my stomach from the Swedish government, they gave a man who's making a bomb to kill Swedish 4 years. Why not give him 4 months or maybe 4 weeks? Don't you think 4 weeks will be plenty enough as a punishment for this man? What is that? 4 years. If it's me, I will investigate him and his family and the Muslim in the community, for sure the Muslim in the mosque, and remove them out of Sweden. Not for 4 years, forever. You see the difference between 4 years and forever? That is how the Sweden in Europe can take care of their country and of their people by removing the threats completely out of their borders. And that is the end of that story. Let's move on to Austria, where we have one story there.
14-year-old Sandra, her name has been changed to protect her, from Lower Austria, was found lifeless in the apartment of an Afghan on Tuesday morning. According to the findings, the 26-year-old suspect may have lured the girl into the building with drugs. While the schoolgirl probably ultimately died of an overdose, the young man who arrived with the wave of refugees in 2015 claims to have had consensual sex with her. His asylum application was rejected at first back in 2015, but the judiciary granted subsidiary protection following an appeal.
Well, 14 years old for a good Muslim refugee, that's an old woman. Don't forget, Muhammad, when he was 54 years old, he was involved sexually with Aisha, 9 years old. The problem I have is with the judge who allowed that man to stay in Austria. With all honesty, if the people of Austria would like to change this new trend in Austria, I believe the people of Austria should demand that that judge would serve the time which he's supposed to give to this young man for killing this 14-year-old girl. Obviously, if he did not allow him to stay, this Sandra would be alive today. Well, Brother Paul, we have one last story from Pakistan. What's going on there?
Barnabas Aid reports that two Pakistani Christian brothers were kidnapped by Muslims in Punjab province and tortured into converting to Islam. Azam Masi, who was 39, a tailor, and his brother Nadeem Masi were repeatedly hit with iron bars and threatened with death by their two captors if they did not comply. Wounded and weak, the brothers were forced into reciting the Shahada, the Islamic creed which Muslims state when they convert to Islam.
Well, once again, that's the reality of how Islam started 1450 years ago. It was by the edge of the sword. We learned that from Quran chapter 9, verse 5, where Muhammad was killing people until they convert to Islam. For we read in Quran 9:5, when the forbidden months are past, so kill the palaces wherever you find them and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. But if they repent, that is convert to Islam, and perform the prayer and give the legal alms, so leave the way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. That is the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah. You're going to beat the Christian until they say the Shahada, or you kill them without saying the Shahada. Which way do you want to go? That is the reality of Islam for the last 1450 years. And that is what is coming to Europe and to America, where Muslims will have the upper hand and they will force non-Muslims to convert to Islam, or they will kill the last of the infidels. Because that is Islam in a nutshell. Brother Paul, thank you so much for producing this program for today. And God bless you, brother, and for our dear, wonderful audience. Until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.